Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbath Church, Congregation Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, and the Elgin, Texas. Today is January 10, 2023, or the 29th day of Thebet, 2027. We will start our first service today with the song, and then we'll go into a regular sermon. Life is but what we make it. We're going to turn to Timely Greetings, Volume 1, Number 50. Beachy Hollis, July 19, 1947. This is that to find out that life is really what we make it, I shall bring unto your attention 7 examples, beginning in Noah's day and ending in our day. Okay. It says, example number 1. Noah was commanded to build an ark and to tell the world that a flood was to cover the earth, that only those who would get into the ark would escape alive. 120 years later, the animals were strangely seen to march two and two into the ark. Noah and his family also went in, while the rest of the world laughed and ridiculed. But when the rain began to pour, the situation ceased to be funny. Those outside the ark cried, mourned, pled, but all perished as fools only, because they had failed to give heed unto the present truth, had failed to feed on the meat in due season. What folly, what disaster. One would think that after the deluge, the world would have had a great respect for religion and for the prophets of Yahweh, but that was not the case. For the Antediluvians did not believe Noah's prediction that there was to be a flood, so they refused to go into the ark. But the flood came, and they perished, for the post-Diluvians did not believe his prediction that there was not to be another flood, so they set about to build the Tower of Babel. But when Yahweh saw the tower skyrocketing, he blasted the top of it and confounded the builder's language. That is, he blotted their own language from their minds and carved into them the languages of today. Thus he caused the birth of the various races and languages, which we today find even in the remotest parts of the earth. It was not Yahweh's purpose that the people should stack themselves in the plains of the Shinar, but that they should spread out and replenish the earth. And so when they refused to obey his command, he gave them the next best he had for them, and that they had to obey. For the man's work, independent of and contrary unto Yahweh's, you see, is certain to meet with a disaster. A house that is built on the sand cannot survive a storm, and no man can possibly defeat Yahweh's purpose for men. For men do not make a fool of yourself by trying. For it takes years in the school of man to learn a language. But in the school of Yahweh, it takes but a moment. He can blot out one language from a man's brain and carve in another, and at the same time change the features of his face and the color of his skin. Yes, Yahweh can do all this more quickly than a dentist can pull a tooth. But whether a change be made for the better or for the worse all depends upon the individual. Example number 2. For the Nebuchadnezzar was given a dream, being troubled with the summon the wise men of his realm to tell him the interpretation of it. They came up, but there was nothing that they could do. And at last Daniel was brought before the king after hearing the king's story of the dream. Daniel said, Daniel 4:24-26-28, "This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High which has come. Upon my lord, the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of the heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it unto whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule, came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. For the king heard the interpretation of it, and he understood the decree. Nevertheless, he was not willing to admit that there was one greater than he. Then it came to pass that Daniel 4:29-30. At the end of the 12 months, he walked in the palace of the king of Babylon, for the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? What a statement to make after having heard Yahweh's decree, for the king has yet to learn that Yahweh rules over the nation, sets up kings, and deposes kings. Let us now hear Yahweh's answer to the king's folly. Daniel 4:31-33. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, unto thee it is spoken, for the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it unto whomsoever he will. So the same arbor, the same fulfilled up on the Nebuchadnezzar, and he was given a man and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of the heaven, till his hairs were grown like the eagle's feathers, and his nails like the bird's claws. Some, even to this day, do not realize that Yahweh rules, that the men are not independent of him, although they are permitted to choose whether or not to serve him. It was not necessary for a Chaldean king to live with the beast of the field, but as he could not learn his lesson by words in the easy way, he was removed from his palace and put into a corral there to learn by the experience and the hard road. In the end of the 7 years after he had graduated, so to speak, from the Yahweh school of the hard knocks, the king walked back into his palace and said, Daniel 4:34-37. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto the heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he gives according unto his will, and the army of the heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of the heaven, all whose works are of the in the truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in the pride he is able to abase. Through pride and disloyalty unto Yahweh, Nebuchadnezzar made life miserable for himself, but at last he did awake. Example number 3. Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom continued until the reign of his grandson. I always thought it was his son, Belshazzar. Belshazzar knew his grandfather's history. And his experience with Yahweh, but he failed to profit by it. He made a great feast unto a thousand of his lords, and commanded that the vessels which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem be brought unto the feast, so that the king himself and his princes' wives and concubines might drink therefrom. As soon as this revelry took place, there came forth fingers of a man's hand, which wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. Belshazzar was greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords for a start. Then was Daniel brought before the king, and Daniel emphatically declared, Daniel 5:18-31, O thou king, the Most High Yahweh gave unto Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom. See, I thought Nebuchadnezzar was his Belshazzar's father, and majesty and glory and honor, and for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages tremble and fear before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in the pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and he took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, for they fed him with the grass like the oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High of Yahweh ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And this son, O Belshazzar, hath not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Yahweh of the heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine unto them, and them. And thou hast praised the gods of the silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear not, know, and the Yahweh in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then it was a part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Many, many tickle, euphoration. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many, Yahweh hath numbered thy kingdom. And finished it. Tickle, thou art weighed in the balances, and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given unto the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and then closed Daniel with the scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him, that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. What a difference there would have been in the scroll of history if the Belshazzar had profited by the priceless lesson which his grandfather or his father have learned. Yes, what a difference it would have made. This is a needful lesson for us all, kings and peasants alike. Example number 4, for the Chaldean Empire became a Medo-Persian Empire, not because the Medes and the Persians were stronger and mightier, but because Yahweh had so decreed. Let us see, Isaiah 45:1. Thus says Yahweh unto his anointed, unto Sardis, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. For Cyrus, under whose command the Medo-Persian army marched into the Babylon, had not yet been born. When the prophet Isaiah wrote of him, but Yahweh remembered his promise, and when Belshazzar felt perfectly secure on the night of the revelry and fatal debauchery, Yahweh opened before Cyrus the two-leaved gates and made possible the capture of the kingdom. There the Medes and the Persians met Daniel and his companions, who called Cyrus' attention unto the scriptures, which not only predicted his victory, but even foretold his name, having seen and felt the power of the Yahweh. Cyrus was moved to decree. Ezra 1:2-11. Thus says Cyrus, king of the Persia, the Yahweh of the heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His Yahweh be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of Yahweh, of the Israel. He is the Yahweh, which is in Jerusalem, and whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with the silver and with the gold and with the goods and with the beasts beside the freewill offering for the house of Yahweh that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of the Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit Yahweh had raised, to go up to build the house of the Yahweh, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with the vessels of the silver, with gold, with the goods, and with the beasts, and with the precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of Yahweh, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of the Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus king of Persia bring forth by the hand of the Mithridat, the treasurer, and numbered them unto the sheriff Bezar, the prince of the Judah. And this is the number of them: 30 chargers of the gold, 1,000 chargers of the silver, 29 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 8,000. All the vessels of the gold and of all silver were 5,000, and 400. All these did Shesbazar bring up with them of the captivity of that were brought up from the Babylon unto Jerusalem. It is not difficult to see that if the rulers of the Medo-Persian Empire had continued to rule in the same spirit as the Cyrus, the kingdom would have stood until this day. That kingdom, though, gave way unto Grecia, Grecia unto Rome, and Rome unto the nations of today. Plain enough it is to see that the kingdoms of today still stand because Yahweh has purposed it so. They're growing more and more independent of the Yahweh, will sooner or later bring the end of them too. For they're looking down the stream of time, down unto the kingdoms of the day, which are depicted by the feet and toes of the great image, the spirit of the truth root. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay and part of the iron, the kingdom shall be divided, that this shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the marred clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of the iron and part of the clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with the marred clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, and they shall not cleave one unto another, even as iron is not mixed with the clay. And in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, that it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Yahweh hath made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Daniel 2:41-45. Rather than merging into the kingdom of Yahweh, they will have to be destroyed. Example number 5. Now let us see what benefit the kingdoms and nations reap from coming into the contact with the church. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome, who came into contact with the church, make up the civilized world of today. Look at the nations and peoples, the heathen in the somewhat isolated places of the earth, who were not so fortunate as to meet the church as early as the other nations. Still further, look at those who are still more isolated in the remotest parts of the earth, who have had no contact with the church, not until just recently. Most of them are but little better than animals, not only in intelligence, but even in the progress. For the people who were fortunate enough to be the closest unto the religion of Yahshua, are you willing to find as the most intelligent, as you will find as the most intelligent, as the most prosperous, England, for example, and who translated the Bible and published and spread it throughout the world unto all peoples and languages, became the greatest of the nations in its time. Then the United States, as a sister nation unto the English Empire, who less than 2 centuries ago founded its government upon the principles of the Bible and inscribed on it this dollar in God we trust, and who also established the American Bible Society, is comparably a few years became the greatest of all nations, as did the Hebrews in their day. On the other hand, those who turned against the religion of the Bible were left desolate. Their blessings became a curse unto them. The hated Jews, for whom there is no spot on the earth, are the best example. Germany, who led out in the Reformation but who turned back from it, has reaped a sorrowful harvest too, and what is true with the nations is just as true with the individuals, homes, families, and communities. If you will take a little time to observe, you will see this law of the blessings and curses and the demonstration everywhere without the exception. For the world was founded upon the religion, and you can rest assured that when religion disappears from the earth, the world will disappear with it. Those who fall in love with the truth will find that blessings will reciprocally fall in love with them. Let us read at 2 Thessalonians 2, 8-12, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Yahweh shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of the Satan with all power and lying and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause Yahweh shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and that they all might be damned who believe not in the present truth, but have treasure in unrighteousness. We see that if we do not fall in love with the truth, deception is inevitable. None are deceived by coming in contact with the error, for we are in contact with it anyway, from the time we are born until the time we die. But everyone who does not love the truth is sure to be deceived, regardless what he may do to avoid it. And those who are satisfied with the truth of yesterday, who are not looking for fresh truth for today from the throne of Yahweh, but looking for a meet and a due season, such ones will find themselves in a terrible a predicament as did the Jews spewed out. Deuteronomy 30:15-19. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Example number 6. if we fail to profit by what Yahweh tells us, we shall fail as badly, as if not worse, as any who have failed before us. I think some of you who have had personal contact with Yahweh know these things through the experiences of your own. Doubtless, you have found that you cannot long prevent explosion while keeping fire and gunpowder in the same room, that you cannot serve the devil and yet have peace and security. Let me illustrate this by an actual incident. A certain man dreamed that a horse killed him by kicking him. To safeguard his life, he kept his distance from all horses. Nevertheless, one windy day as he was walking down a street, he passed a blacksmith establishment in front of which was hanging a sign with the horseshoe painted on it. The sign suddenly fell on his head and he died from the impact. We can no more avoid the consequences of the sin and of the isolation from the Yahweh than could the dreamer avoid death by the dodging it. We never know what the day will bring forth, and we cannot afford to isolate ourselves from Yahweh even for a moment. Neither can we say definitely that we will or will not do this, that, or the other. Example number 7. Some years ago, while in Europe, I heard that one of my cousins had left for America. I then said to myself, "Poor cousin, I will never leave home and go to live anywhere as far away as America for any reason." But about that time, I alone with the others was falsely accused of conspiracy. It was in a season when the nights were long, and as we put on the lights in our store one morning before daylight, a mob gathered with the guns and stones and stormed the windows. So it was just a few months after I took pity on my poor cousin's estrangement from his homeland, I found myself in America in the same house with him. It was a great disappointment at first. No, not lesser than Joseph of old, but what a favor at last Yahweh blessed the mob. Only Yahweh knows the future, and we should place our hopes and ambitions in His mighty hand. Then and then only will we come to the top. And if we are tempted to say we will or will not do this or that, then let us remember Jonah. He said he would not bear a message to Nineveh, and straightway took a boat for the Tarshish. But the boatman threw him overboard, and the great fish picked him up and brought him right back to the place whence he was trying to run away. for the Nebuchadnezzar king of the Babylon thought to perpetuate his sin by ordering all of his subjects to bow down to his golden image. The true Hebrews, though, defied his purpose and changed the course of history. For the men who, through the Hebrews and through the furnace, were themselves burned to death. But not a hair of the Hebrews' head was singed all the time that they remained inside of the fiery furnace. Let us with the psalmist lift up our voices and say, Psalms 8:1-6, O Yahshua, our Redeemer, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. This is talking about Yahshua, who has set thy glory above the heaven. Let's go do that again. O Yahweh, our Father, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heaven, out of the mouth of the babes and sucklings, as thou ordained strength because of thine enemy, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heaven, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with the glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet. For the prophet Malachi was instructed to write for the people that were to live in the time of the end. Let us read now from chapter 4 of Malachi 1-3. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Yahshua the host, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with the healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and go up as the calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes on the soles of your feet. And in the day that I shall do this, saith Yahshua of the host. That's the Son. When it says Lord of the host, it's talking about the Son of Yahweh, Yahshua. Is it not better to be a human being under Yahweh's order as a beautiful, ever living creature than to be ashes on the souls of the saints? Why not now respond unto his call and make life what it ought to be? Malachi 4:4-6. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, that with the statutes and judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers unto the children, and the hearts of the children unto their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Are you waiting, watching, praying, and hoping that when the typical Elijah as the prophet appears and calls on you, your heart be turned toward your children and their hearts toward you? Or are you crawling under your shell, as it were, for the fear that you'd be deceived if you should meet him? It's life, you see, is what you make it. Most people do not know how to make it better. But if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. For the to summarize this study, we have learned that we have been put in this world for a purpose. That if we want the salvation and blessing, we must cooperate with Yahweh. This we can do by following the example of the Yahweh, Yahweh's truth hungry people, for to enable us to do this. He has seen to it that both the glories and the calamities of both classes have been noted in his book. If we compare our works with the Noah's works, we will see whether we measure up with him in the old band of the present truth, and neither the antediluvians nor the post-diluvians did profit from the Noah's preaching, for the former did not believe it possible to flood the earth and perish. The latter did not believe it was possible for the earth that it to be flooded again. For they built the Tower of the Babel because they feared another flood, although they were plainly told that there will be such a flood that there will be such a flood no more. Yahweh, though, not only destroyed their work, but also confounded their languages, and in exchange gave them all different languages so that few could understand one another. If we work to fulfill Yahweh's plans for us, we shall never be confused or confounded. For the Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylon, that last saw these things as Yahweh sees them, but the hard way, not before Yahweh turned him loose for 7 years to eat grass like the oxen. Later, when he came unto himself, he acknowledged Yahweh as Yahweh, who rules both the heaven and earth. Let us do better than did the king. Then Belshazzar, the king who failed to profit by the experience of the Nebuchadnezzar, overnight lost himself, his kingdom, and his all. Ruler followed ruler, and finally the kingdom passed on to the Medo-Persians, and to the Grecians, next to the Romans, and finally to the nations of the day. For the nations received alone unto Yahweh, and he lets them be ruled by whomsoever he will. For the nations who came nearest unto Yahweh and his teachings became great and respectable nations, and those who kept themselves away from him are not much better than animals. It is best to learn what the Yahweh wants you to do, then do just that. Life truly is just what we make it, no less and no more. Now it is your chance. Now you are at the two crossroads, which will it be for you, the wide or the narrow way? Now this brings the end of number 50, John reading volume 1. It says that the poem that ends it, the gifts of Yahweh. His gifts are greater than my dreams. The gifts of God are to me as countless as the sunset's golden beams, as boundless as the sea. I ask to part, he gives me whole, himself and all beside. His loving kindness overflows my soul, in rushing as the tide. Within my heart he shall have place to rule and reign supreme. My voice will ever praise him for the grace of which I never could dream. His gifts are greater than my dreams, the gifts of him who set me free, and more abundant daily sing the grace of Yahweh unto me. J.B. Pounds, P-O-U-N-D-S, wrote that. This brings in our status as our contact, just as 11,000 callers, number 11. Click on our audio archive to hear this message, and we're going to close out with a song. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tenderest care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our yeast and forth prepare. Blessed Yahshua, has brought us kindly home. Blessed Yahshua, thou has brought us kindly home. We are thine, do thou befriend us. Be their guardian, help our way. Keep the flock from sin, defend us. Seek us when we go astray. Blessed Yahshua, you'll hear us when we pray. Blessed Yahshua, you'll hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive evil, poor and sinful though we be. And thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to kings and power to free. Blessed Yahshua, will he turn to thee. Blessed Yahshua, will he turn to thee.